Blog Talk Radio.
You will not be able to stay home, brother. You will not be able to plug in, turn on, and cop out. You will not be able to lose yourself on Skag and skip out for beer during commercials because the revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by Xerox in four parts without commercial interruptions. The revolution will not show you pictures of Nixon blowing a bugle and leading a charge by John Mitchell, General Abrams, and Spiro Agnew to eat hog maws confiscated from a Harlem sanctuary. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by the Schaefer Award Theater and will not star Natalie Woods and Steve McQueen or Bullwinkle and Julia. The revolution will not give your mouth sex appeal. The revolution will not get rid of the nub. The revolution will not make you look 5 pounds thinner because the revolution will not be televised, brother. There will be no pictures of you and Willie Mae pushing that shopping cart down the block on the dead run or trying to slide that color TV into a stolen ambulance. NBC will not be able to predict the winner at 8:32 on Report from 29 districts. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of Whitney Young being run out of Harlem on a rail with a brand new process. There will be no slow motion or still life of Roy Wilkins strolling through Watts in a red, black, and green liberation jumpsuit that he has been saving for just the proper occasion. Acres, Beverly Hillbillies, and Hooterville Junction will no longer be so damn relevant, and women will not care if Dick finally got down with Jane on Search for Tomorrow, because black people will be in the street looking for a brighter day. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no highlights on the 11 o'clock news and no pictures of Harry R. Woman Liberationist and Jackie Onassis blowing her nose. The theme song will not be written by Jim Webb or Francis Scott Key, nor sung by Glenn Campbell, Tom Jones, Johnny Cash, Engelbert Humperdinck, or The Rare Earth. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be right back after a message about a white tornado, white lightning, or white people. You will not have to worry about a dove in your bedroom, the tiger in your tank, or the giant in your toilet bowl. The revolution will not go better with Coke. The revolution will not fight germs that may cause bad breath. The revolution will put you in the driver's seat. The revolution will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised. The revolution will be no rerun, brothers. The revolution will be live.
Hello, and welcome to Provocative Thought, intimately known as PT, striving to awaken those who are asleep, stimulate those who are awakened, feed those who are starving, and nurture those who seek to know. I am your host, Carlton Steed, a self-proclaimed student of life in the search, discovery, and revelation of life on life's terms. First, I'd like to thank We Talk Productions for allowing me to host this show. I'd also like to thank the creator for allowing me to be. You can contact the show by dialing 516-531-9540. Please press the number 1 to speak. You can contact the show by dialing 516-531-9540. Please press the number 1 to speak. You can reach us on the internet at www.blogtalkradio.com. Go to search, type in We Talk Productions, and listen to the show live. You can also contact us on Facebook at Provocative Thought PT Community Organization. Tonight's topic: why do we need police? imagine a world or a society without police? Would that be a society without crime or a society where people are left to their own devices? Would we be better off or at greater risk? With all of their faults, it appears that we actually need responsible law enforcement. Self-policing is the act of behaving in a manner which is not overtly offensive, aggressive, and abusive, and life-threatening. A society's inability to actually behave in a civil manner is indicative of that society's need for law enforcement or someone to maintain a certain level of safety and order. Maybe, if we were truly civil, civil being by definition courteous and polite, considerate of other people, maybe if we were truly civil, we wouldn't need law enforcement. Fact is, we are not behaving civil for whatever of the many, many reasons. As for the question of do we need police, the answer is yes, we do. In fact, it appears that we need more than police to address the social, economical, political issues that impact on the American people daily. From Britannica, police is a body of officers representing the civil authority of government. Police typically are responsible for maintaining public order and safety, enforcing the law, and preventing, detecting, and investigating criminal activities. These functions are known as policing, right? Police are often also entrusted with various licensing and regulatory activities, right? Police, right? Public police forces, private security agencies, the military, and government agencies with various surveillance and investigative powers. The best of those known bodies are the public constabulary forces that patrol public places, often in marked cars, and whose members wear uniform, the visible police, right? That's what everybody, we see them the most, and, you know, they're undercover police officers and things like that, right? Plain clothes and undercover, right? They are the most visible representatives of the civil authority of government, and they provide the model typically associated with police organizations, right? Of course, we know we've been having some hard times with police. It's nothing new at that, you know, but it's something that historically been hard for poor and particularly black people in this country, right? So police origins may have evolved from the slave catchers in America, and that may have some impact on the way some police officers perform their jobs. Old habits do die hard, if at all. Given the inequities, discriminations, abuse of power, disregard for the law, and sometimes human life, some officers have shown still. Where would we be without police or law enforcement? In some cases, I guess some people might still be alive or would not have died at the hand of law enforcement. I get it. Law enforcement appears to be a double-edged sword. We can't live with some of the things law enforcement does, and we can't live without some of the things law enforcement does. From Fox News. The 2021 United States murder rate is estimated to be nearly as high as it was in 25 years ago, when more than 19,000 600 people were killed nationwide. 19,600 people were killed nationwide. Now, there's a war going on right now, right? You think they killed you think they near this number, 19,600 people? The war, all-out war. This is us in time of peace, according to the statistics in the report anyway, right? CrimeInAmerica.net says, homicides increased by nearly 30% in 2020. Overall violence and aggravated assaults also increased. There was a surge in police officers leaving law enforcement per the Bureau of Labor Statistics. They say guys are just jumping shit. From thedailywire.com, how many black lives have heavy policing saved in New York? They say the number will stun you. Well, let's see what they're talking about. They say leftist race radical activists railing against police don't seem to realize that the thing they call proactive policing has saved thousands of black lives in New York. Heather McDonald defines proactive policing more popularly known as broken windows, which I never heard of, policing, as the enforcement of low-level misdemeanor laws regulating public order. This method of policing has come under attack by the Black Lives Matter movement and their leftist sympathizers after the death of Eric Garner in 2014. Eric Garner was a young man. He was approached by police as he was selling Lucy cigarettes, single cigarettes, right, New York. They proceeded to get physical with him, took him down. One officer took him, had him in a chokehold. I think three other officers assist in, I guess, arresting him, or I don't know what they call themselves doing. It's Lucy cigarettes. I don't even know why they even got to that far. That's what everybody's wondering about that whole incident. Why do you even have to put your hands on the guy? He's selling Lucy cigarettes. Take the cigarettes away, shoo him away. Problem solved. Anyway, McDonald points out that it was Gardner's resistance to arrest that triggered the events leading to his death. This Heather McDonald point out that it was Gardner's resistance to arrest that triggered the events leading to his death. Heather McDonald is an American conservative political commentator, essayist, attorney, and author, right? So this dismissive attitude and thinking toward the murder of Eric Garner, an unarmed black male selling loose cigarettes in New York, is a part of the problem. It's clear that the officer used an illegal chokehold around Eric Garner's neck. He did not present a physical or lethal threat, but somehow it's his fault that he was murdered in broad daylight by police for a misdemeanor offense. The issue is not that Eric was breaking the law, but that law enforcement was breaking the law. Yes, we need police, but we don't need police who make poor decisions and or murder unarmed, non-threatening civilians. To add salt to injury, they all ignored Eric Garner saying, "I can't breathe." Yet, McDonald blames the victim for triggering the incident or his own murder. This case is a good example of the kind of police officer we don't need in any community. We have one officer that kills and three who aid and assist while ignoring a man being murdered or who are unable to determine if a man is at risk of being murdered, particularly when it involves another police officer. We saw this with George Floyd also. How about police just simply doing their jobs in a responsible, humane manner? Addressing low-level misdemeanor crimes should not result in a death or a lethal confrontation. That is the kind of behavior you can expect from ultra-violent criminals. All right? Because that was reckless what they did with Eric Garner, regardless of what the courts said or may not have said. That should not have happened. And I heard that they could have wrote him a citation. Anyway, they went on in the article, they went on to say that statistics prove that thousands of black lives were saved by proactive policing, according to columnist Michael Barone, right? Murders declined from 2,262 to 333 in New York from 1987 to 251 in Los Angeles from 943 to 413 in Chicago between 1990 and 2014. That's from 987 to 251 in Los Angeles, right? So that's a good point right there. So it sounds like the proactive policing may have had an impact on crime. That's what she's saying, right? The statistics illustrate dramatic policing difference enjoyed by New York. While the homicide rate dropped by half in the nine largest cities other than New York between 1990 and 2009, it dropped by 82% in New York. Rate dropped 77% in New York compared to with a median rate of 49% of other cities. The New York showed larger declines in every major crime, though particularly in robbery, burglary, and auto theft. While robberies dropped 49% in other major cities, they fell an astonishing 84% in New York, considering in 1990 there were 2,272 homicide victims in New York City. At that rate, if that rate had remained unchanged, more than 2,400 would have been killed in 2013, they said, right? Proactive policing has been on the decline in New York, they said, right? Since then, criminal summonses and arrests have been reduced by 26% and 17.4% last year in 2015, right, respectively. And pedestrian stops have expected to decline by 42%, right, in 2016. This article was written in 2016, so. The results have been deadly, they said. A 20% spike in homicides in a year's time and a 20% rise in shootings over 2 years. A Quinnipiac poll shows that a majority of blacks support proactive policing. Right? So they say thousands of black lives in New York prior to the poisonous rhetoric of what they say Black Lives Matter, and without it, more blood has been spilled in the streets of New York. I don't understand how they confusing police shootings with these are apples and oranges. Law enforcement killing people and people killing each other, civilians killing each other. Because that thing is happening in white communities too. So from the American Enterprise Institute, unrecognized heroes, cops saving lives while risking their own. Detroit News reported a police officer in Sterling Heights, a Detroit suburb, saved the life of a three-week-old infant, right? A Google search of the phrase cop saves lives yields nearly 10,000 results, and a Google search of the phrase police officer saves lives found more than 5,000 examples of police saving lives. So police
you know, hey, they save lives. Sometimes they save lives. Sometimes they take lives. Sometimes they have to take lives. Sometimes they take lives and they shouldn't take lives, right? That's the double-edged sword. At the same time, they are saving lives. Police officers are putting their own lives at risk, according to the Officer Down Memorial page. There have been 120 police officers who have died in the line of duty, including 29 from gunfire. Let me see. This is 2020. That would mean that we can expect 225 police officers to die this year compared to 147 deaths last year in 2019, right? Over the last 5 years, 147 officers have died in the line of duty and 1,794 over the last decade, right? Historically, more than 24,000 U.S. police officers have died in the line of duty trying to do their job. So that is sad right there. And that shouldn't happen either. So they asked the question, if police departments were defunded and the number of police officers declined significantly, what will happen to the number of people whose lives are saved in the future by police officers? Like the Sterling Heights cop who saved the life of a three-week-old infant. They said the answer suggests that the number of lives saved will decline, right? So they said, I looked at a list of jobs in America, the top 25 most dangerous jobs in the United States. So you need to check that out. Just y'all might want to check that out, because police officer came in at number 25. And the jobs that they say are more dangerous than that, you're not going to believe it. Some of you see, but you would think that the guy carrying a gun has the most dangerous job than those jobs, but not so. But this is a dangerous job, but 25 that's 25 of all the jobs that we have in this country. So let's say police officers are law enforcement officers tasked with enforcing the law, protecting life and property, and maintaining order. Police officers may perform tasks such as patrolling an area, issuing citations, investigating crimes, arresting suspects, and working with prosecutors on cases. How dangerous is it to be a police officer? Working as a police officer is about 3.5 times as dangerous compared to the average job nationwide, based upon the workplace fatality rate. Police officers have a workplace fatality rate similar to, check this out, landscaping supervisors, crane operators, maintenance workers. I told my friend his job was very dangerous. I meant to say it was more dangerous. It's categorized as more dangerous than of being a police officer, or as dangerous. Heavy vehicle mechanics, right? The most common cause of death for police officers at work is, guess, violence by persons, right? People, right? So here we have things that we have seen, like we have this scenario where people are apprehensive about safety in the presence of a police officer, and police officers are apprehensive about safety in the presence of people, right? The most common cause of death of police officers at work. So I'm sure that they are aware of that. From Sky Paper, why we need the police in society. Police play a significant role in law enforcement in the society, right? Measures of law enforcement have always been required in a society to promote peace, maintain order, and allow free movement of people. The history of police can be traced to over 100 years ago. As society becomes complex, there was a need for individuals to deal with civil disorder. They kind of leaving some stuff out on this shit, but we're going to go forward. This is not my article. I'm just sharing some opinions of other people, right? people have since then played diverse roles that are aimed at maintaining social order in the society by ensuring conformity to laws and society expectations, right? Police are an essential component of modern society as they assist in maintaining law and order. Law and order. The society would be chaotic if there was no policing and people did whatever they wished without facing consequences for their actions. We can agree with that. But some of us would say, add to that and say, all people, not just people at the bottom, right? The police maintain order during protests, riots, and traffic. They also arrest the lawbreakers and those persons who disturb the peace of society. Thus, it's ensuring that there is order. Okay, and I know we have issues with that because it's inconsistent in terms of who they arrest. But even with all the inconsistencies, I'm saying, like, yo, where would we be without police? You know, police have done some good things. They saved some lives, you know what I'm saying? Took some people shot, throw them in the back of the squad car, rushed them to the hospital. I know y'all know about everybody got a story like that. I'm not everybody, because everybody don't even live in that environment. But you know what I'm talking about. Another role of police is maintaining law, is investigating crimes, as we said, you know, making arrests, help society function better, right? Police are needed in society to protect human rights and freedoms. Human rights and freedom, that's when that, you know, your right to be due process, your right to life, not to be searched without probable cause, reasonable probable cause. You know, just can't stop you on the street and search you. Even though I remember growing up, that was par for the course. Police throwing you on the wall, on a police car, searching you. You know, so, you know, now that, you know, people are calling attention to these type of behaviors from police officers, right? You know, they say they, the way that they protect the property and lives of individuals is by preventing crime from taking place in the society and protecting those mm-hmm. people whom their life is at risk, right? Police also patrol neighborhoods, right, communities, detect social vices and problems and prevent them before they occur or escalate, right? So they're supposed to de-escalate, right? And this is all good stuff right here. Just think, just realize, look at this like, okay, this is what a police officer is supposed to do. And we know sometimes police officers don't do that. Some won't do that. Some don't have the skills to do that, right? But they're on the police force. And it's probably part of the problem because these are ideal scenarios of what a police officer does. And I'm not trying to be idealistic or naive here. I'm just, this is what somebody else is thinking and feeling and expressing about police, right? And I think it was good stuff because that's something maybe police could describe to be, you know what I mean? Because, I mean, it sounds good. They promote justice in society. Wouldn't you like a guy walking around just being just, promoting justice and respecting you as a human being, right? Respecting your rights as a citizen, as a human being. You can't ask for a better guy than that, walking your neighborhood with a gun on his hip, because we got some other guys walking around. They don't respect nothing. And, you know, they see who they want to shoot at. They don't even, you know. I did see one dude, not to change the subject, I did see a guy with an AK ask people to move out the way while he attempted to gun these people down. I did see that. But for the most part, these guys are not asking people to get out of the way. Right? So anyway, they promote justice in the society. They ensure that there is equality, freedom, and fairness in society. I don't know how they do that because they don't make laws. They enforce the law. But this is idealistic, I know. And it sounds starry-eyed. I get it. But hey, when y'all like this guy on patrol in your neighborhood, it sounds like a guy to say, hey, good morning, Mr. Brown. Nice day. You say, hey, you need a water? Officer Jones, you need water, cold water, some lemonade or something? Sounds like that kind of relationship, right? Guy that was doing this, ensuring that there is equality, freedom, and fairness in society. Because you have to touch more than the grassroots people to do that. You have to go up above their pay grade. Anyway, through law enforcement, the police are able to protect the powerless, oppressed, and poor in society. I know some people will argue with that. We'll have another point of view of that. But this is I'm trying to look at the positive things about the police, and I'm gonna touch on some of the negative to talk about the positive. But we're not gonna dwell on the negative, because the question is, do we need police? Do we really need police? Right? The police arrest those who engage in unjust practices. Right? And for the most part, you know, once it's been decided that somebody has done something unjust, they arrest them. So has Trump ever been arrested? Because they sure have been saying he's been doing a lot of unjust stuff. I guess he's being falsely accused. And so anyway, I'm going to keep it moving. They apprehend the lawbreakers. Justice prevails in society when all people are punished for their wrongdoing. So you pay attention to these things, because what this person is saying, justice prevails in a society, right, when all people are punished for their wrongdoing. All people. That's like all people is presidents, right, congressmen, senators, mayors, councilmen, trash men, poor men, rich men. Know what I'm saying? White men, black men, Latino men, all men, women. They said all people need to be, that's the next thing, in a society, right? Right? Justice prevails when society, when all people are punished for their wrong actions, right? So they say punish everybody. And see, that's the problem people have, because they don't see everybody being held to the letter of the law. I get it. I just don't want anybody to think I'm running away with this is perfect, police are perfect, because we know they're not. But again, the question is, what would we do without them? How would things be without police? You know, police educate the public on how to handle dangerous situations, to ensure that their lives are protected. I know they have these little meetings at the police district where people from the community go there and talk to police. Sometimes they come to the community centers in the community, talk to people and stuff like that, right? They inform communities on how to respond to emergencies, how to handle firearms, and driving safety. They prevent injuries and serve communities in times of emergencies and crisis by providing services such as evacuation, right? So anyway, various roles of police play help in promoting a secure community. The police promote safer communities by arresting criminals, dictating crime, responding to emergencies, and investigating crime to ensure that the guilty are punished. Well, you take the court to do that part, all right? So they only can arrest you. They can't convict you and punish you. Punishment is dealt through the courts, right? These roles ensure that neighborhoods are free of crime, as criminals become cautious when they know they are likely to be arrested, right? So that's like if I'm constantly stealing from a store and I never get caught. So you get kind of relaxed. You know, you're not being afraid all of a sudden again. I heard people say that once you kill somebody, it's easy to do it the next time. And after that time, you get quite relaxed with that situation, killing people is like stealing candy from the candy store, right? For some people. Anyway, the police promote safer communities by arresting criminals, detecting crime, responding to emergencies, and investigating crime to ensure that the guilty are punished. These roles ensure that neighborhoods are free from crime as criminals become cautious, apprehensive, afraid, right? Oh, man, I ain't doing that, man. They got too many cops around there. No, I ain't doing it, right? When they know that they are likely to be arrested. Ah, that's a 10 to 20. I wouldn't do that, right? Studies have shown that people feel secure in communities where there is a higher police presence compared to those characterized by a few police personnel. Besides, communities where there is frequent police patrolling have record low rates of criminal activity, they say, right? If police were absent from society, there would be disorder and lawlessness, right? Well, like I said, there's lawlessness in society, which is why we have police in society. That's like a double-edged sword there, right? So first, the police are essential in the society as they help in maintaining law and order. Second, the police help in protecting fundamental freedoms and human rights. Protecting fundamental freedoms and human rights. If these guys were patrolling the neighborhoods, we wouldn't have a whole lot of problems that we have, right? Third, the police promote justice by protecting the vulnerable. If these guys were patrolling our neighborhoods, we would not have a whole lot of problems that we had. George Floyd would still be alive. Finally, the police promote the welfare of society through provision of diverse social services. So now people argue this point right here because police are not social workers, right? So if police don't do all of those things, it would be a come up if they did all those things, right? It'd be a come up to take this writer's advice. That's some good stuff right there. I don't know if it's an unrealistic approach to policing because that is like, I'm like, anybody used to, man, I mean, I'm trying to see a movie. Well, what's that movie? Andy Griffin. He was a cop, and you know he's pretty friendly with his small town. Though you know him and what's the other dude? They were pretty friendly cops with the people that they dealt with. You know, they weren't threatening anything like that. But we don't see cops like that. We don't see law enforcement like that, and we hardly see a friendly face. You know, and somebody who's like when they see, hey, you know, hey, how you doing today? You know. You hardly get that kind of thing from a police officer. So I get it. So if protecting fundamental freedoms and human rights were an objective for all law enforcement, Eric Garner and George Floyd would still be alive. A lot of people would still be alive. Still, we need responsible police, just not offending police officers. And, you know, I know there's a lot of bad stuff that's going on with police, even after the George Floyd riots. But we still need police. You still need police officers. You just need responsible police officers, a professional, caring. Like this lady said, these guys right here worried about your rights and your freedoms. You know, whether we have those guys or not. Guys like that. And maybe there are some guys out there like that. But, you know, we still need police. Whether we have guys like the author in the last article was saying or not. But we still need police. What are we going to do without police? Who are you going to call? From NPR, WHYY. I asked a couple of people, you know, just talking, just in passing, you know, I asked them, to, you know, what do you think that we need police. And everybody I asked, wasn't 100 people or anything like that. They all said, yeah, we need, yeah. And he said, but everybody I asked live in the hood. So, you know, they don't live in a part of town where, you know, it's, how you doing, Officer Jones? Hey, how you doing, Mr. Brown? They don't live there. All right? So, lot of things going on in the community, right? So anybody agree that we need police? One of the arguments made by author Alex S. Batali, right? Author of the book, The End of Policing, right? He's on his argument, police are being asked to do too much. They are basically being tasked with addressing every social problem that we have. So what are police asked to do? And what should they be asked to do? He's saying, he questions this. You know, we're putting stress on police officers by asking them to do things that they really aren't trained to do. Right? As I said, the police, origin of police came from slaves, catching slave catchers. So you can imagine how brutal they were, right? So all they had to do was catch that runaway slave, let the dogs chew him up. Now, you can go on videos, you can see dogs chewing up people now, right? From guys they say are trying to resist arrest. I don't know if they did or did. Some cases didn't, like guys resisting anything. He's only resisting his leg being eaten off by a dog. But you can see some of the same behaviors. But still need police. All right, we just call that a bad cop who allowed that dog to chew on that guy's leg, telling him to be still, start resisting. That is ludicrous. Be still, stop resisting, and the dog chewing on your leg. You know, so he should have been fired for that, but and charged, really, with aggravated assault. But anyway, we have some good cops out here, right? Policing is now happening in our schools. It's happening in relation to problems of homelessness, untreated mental illness. Right, remember, I don't know if you guys remember Philadelphia, a guy had a history of mental health issues in Philadelphia. Police were aware of it. I think he had a knife in his hand. Two police officers were called to the scene, and they shot him 14 times. So, you know, because he came towards them with a knife, right? So, riot broke out, right? Over the 14 shots, which is, you know, I understand that is excessive, right? I hope we see that as being excessive, because we say that when these guys on the street shoot somebody 14 times, right? It's excessive, right? Anyway, so I said, dealing with mental illness, youth violence, which they've always dealt with, and some things that we historically associate police with. Well, police have always dealt with youth violence, number one. So, and just in, you know, response to that, policing is happening in our schools because violence is happening in our schools at a level that requires police attention. The teachers are not trained to be police officers. They are trained to teach. Students have a responsibility to come to school prepared to learn, not prepared to assault and or murder somebody, right, or each other. People are murdering school children in mass shootings until the issue that facilitate crime in school are eradicated. Schools will continue to receive police attention. Right? They're going to call the cops if you in there assaulting somebody. Police can't help the homeless, but the government can. As for mental illness, we need to explore the origin of mental illness, be it in our environment, food, drugs, atmosphere, and eradicate it, and provide mental health services to address the issues of those with mental health issues. We need to start attacking these things instead of each other as a society. So Mr. Battali goes on to say the problem is not police training, which I disagree with. Part of the problem is police training and individual attitudes, right, about what it is to be a police officer and the people they are dealing with, right? It's not, he said, it's not police training, police diversity, or police method. The problem is the dramatic and unprecedented expansion and intensity of policing in the last 40 years, a fundamental shift in the role of police in society. So he's saying the problem is policing itself. The whole thing is morphed into something that is problematic. He said, but the problem has become more intensive, more invasive, more aggressive. So he said, what he's calling for is a rethink on why we turn all of these social problems over to the police to manage. Ooh, they got a saying for that. They ish rolls downhill. And that's why the police are dealing with these social problems, right? As we dial these things back, then we can think more concretely, right, about what the rest of policing should look like and how that could be reformed. He said, he brought up the homeless list. In many cities, police are tasked with dealing with people experiencing homelessness, but they don't have many options besides basically moving people, get out of here, or arresting them. You're under arrest. That don't stop. He's still homeless. He move him, he's still homeless. You arrest him, he's still home. He's still homeless. Prison is not a place to live. Well, we create a situation where our political leaders have basically abandoned the possibility of actually housing people. This is what the author is saying. We created the situation where our political leaders, right, have basically abandoned the possibility of actually housing people. We have a massive failure in housing markets that is unable to provide basic shelter for millions of Americans, they say. And I say, oh, wait a minute, pump your brakes. Is that so? Then I went to the Federalist. And I've seen an article, 2021, right? April 14th, 2021, said the White House is spending close to $352 a night to provide beds to the estimated 80,000 migrant families expected to flood the border from now until September, according to a U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement document obtained by the Washington Examiner. The contract rents out hotels in Texas and Arizona for 6.5 months, 199 days. In these hotels, 1,239 beds will be occupied by those participating in the border surge, which the government dubs emergency family reception sites. After 3 days of sleeping in the hotel, migrant families who entered the country illegally will then be freed into the United States with a court date to be determined. So I said, oh, that can't be true because we don't have money to deal with our own homelessness. Then I went to Snoop's Fact Check. They said, yes, U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement confirmed to Snoop's that 86.9 million would be spent over a period of 6 months to house migrant families who cross the U.S.-Mexico border into the United States. Migrant families are similarly housed in U.S. hotels under the Obama and Trump administrations. On March 22, 2021, readers inquired about a claim involving that housing of immigrants across the U.S.-Mexico border, right? One reader asked, is it true that Biden is spending $86 million, same thing I'm saying, excuse me, for hotels for illegal immigrants? Another asked a question like this, Biden is spending $86 million on hotel rooms for migrants as his administration struggles to handle the surge of families and kids trying to come to the U.S.? Yeah, go figure. Seems like we do have money to provide basic shelter for millions of Americans. It seems like we need police to police politicians. Politicians facilitate social chaos, and police are used to deal with the aftermath of their decision. Because things are going to get a little hectic. And we're going to say that police are powerless against these politicians because their politicians, police do the bidding of the lawmakers. They don't make the law. They enforce the law. They are not the law. They follow the law. Anyway, back to Snopes on fact check. So instead of actually addressing the fundamental problem, we have relabeled it as a problem that is the fault of disorderly people who we label as morally deficient. So it's your problem. You are beneath us, right? You are, you know, just not doing what you need to do to come up. And I hear people say that a lot. And then we use police to criminalize them, to control their behavior and to reduce their disorderly impact on the rest of us. This is from Vitaly, right? He said, and this is perverse and unjust. So then it places police in this completely untenable situation, right? Because they completely lack the tools to make this problem any better. And yet, we've told them it's their problem to manage. I say Vitaly has an excellent point here. And, you know, because we got to look at what's causing some of the problems we have. And this guy has this is very interesting. I thought, wow. I said, He said, part of our misunderstanding about the nature of policing is we keep imagining that we can turn police into social workers. I was just saying, you know, that guy, you know, that guy that's worried about injustice, your rights, and things like that, that we can make them nice, friendly, community outreach workers. But police are violence workers. That's what distinguishes them from all other government functions. They have legal capacity to use violence in situations where the average citizen would be arrested. So, he says, when we turn the problem over to the police to manage, there will be violence because those are ultimately the tools that they are most equipped to utilize, right? They have a gun. They got a slapstick, right? They got a taser. Or whatever that thing that shoots out, that metal thing, like a rod or something like that. So, you know, and they have his fist and knees and boots, right? So I'm not trying to be funny, but, you know, they got all that. And they got homies, police homies, come do you win. That's what really is at the root of policing, they said. These guys are trained basically to use violence to resolve, or the threat of violence to resolve conflict, right? So when we don't want violence, we should try to figure out how not to get the police involved. Now, there's a lot of domestic situations. I know people might be calling the police and police end up, you know, breaking somebody's skull, you know, giving somebody some little more than they planned for that day, right? And maybe killing somebody, right? I don't know. But they said there are absolutely a lot of people who agree broadly with the notion that the way that policing happens in this country is a problem and that there needs to be some sort of change. But they're pretty invested in the idea that police are needed to maintain public safety, right? Everybody agrees that, hey, we need police for to maintain public safety because there's just some cats out here. Excuse me. Woo! So there's some cats out here that, you know, they ain't safe. You know, it's some, you know, we all know there's a lot of people out here who's not right. People ask the question, without police, what do you do when someone gets murdered? Well, we know what some people do when someone gets murdered. They murder. We know that, right? It's called revenge, right? That's what's going on. We see that. We live around it, and hopefully we survive it, and these people come to terms where they stop murdering people, right? What do you do when someone's house gets robbed? Right? What do you say to those people who have those concerns? That's being, that's a, you know, any crime they're saying. Like, what do you do when someone is violated by a criminal, right? Well, he said, I'm certainly not talking about any kind of scenario where tomorrow someone just flips the switch and there are no police. He's not suggesting that, right? He said, we have better alternatives for them, right? A huge amount of burglary activity is driven by drug use, for example, right? So we need to completely rethink our approach to drugs so that property crime isn't the primary way that people access drugs. We don't have any part of this country that has a high-quality medical drug treatment on demand, but we have policing on demand everywhere, and it's not working, right? Well, my take on that is, well, we have a country that promotes the use of drugs. So, and, you know, and to the point that some people don't even view alcohol as a drug. They treat it different. Like I always say, if you come into somebody's house, they have four bottles of white and brown liquor on top of their refrigerator, no problem. But if they have four bags of heroin, oh, he's a, you know, that's a, woo, you know, antennas go up, got to call the, you know, the peoples. This guy's a drug addict, he used drugs and stuff like that. When alcohol withdrawal is deadly, heroin withdrawal, it makes you want to die, you know. So you could die from alcohol withdrawal. Alcohol is very dangerous, you know. And, you know, we promote getting high in this country, then we wonder why people want to get high. You can't have, you know, have it both ways. So this guy's saying have treatment for drug addicts. You want to continue to have drug addicts because you... We continue to promote drug uses. I don't care how you look at it. We just legalized marijuana, right, for recreation in some places, right? We're going to continue to have that because money talks and all that other stuff walks, right? So they went on to say he thinks that one of the myths we have about policing is that it is politically neutral. Now, this is the part where I know people would say it's not, right? And it's not historically, right? And that it is always here to sort of create order, right? Like we were talking about, like lady was saying, in an idealist, that was a very idealistic approach to policing and things like that in a way that benefits everyone. So police, they're here to just make it right. They say, look, we're going to make this thing right. We get order. You all right? Okay, you all right? Who's wrong? You go to jail. You get a court date, blase, 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 right? But the reality is that America's social order has never been entirely equitable, right? I'm going to say that again. The reality is that America's social order has never been entirely equitable. We have a long history of exploitation of the indigenous population of African Americans through slavery, Jim Crow, and today. Now, some people say that's not happening. Of course, as we know, that's very debatable depending on who you talk to. But you can see some of this stuff. It's in the statistics. Read. Research. Read. Research. Find out for yourself. Don't take my word for it. Don't take these guys' words for it. Right? And while we're not using police to manage slavery or colonialism today, we are using police to manage the problem that our very unequal system has produced. All right? So, more to the point, to the writer's point, right? The inequity, discrimination, and oppression did not stop after the Civil War. I notice a lot of people make this reference to slavery, like after the Lincoln freed the slaves and the Civil War was over, everything was jippity-jippity. No. It overtly and legally continued right up to the 60s and 70s, you know, on the books. 60, I think it was in the 70s, the early 70s. We were still fighting for stuff. Definitely in the 60s. So, and he said he went on to say that we're invested in this kind of politics that says government can't afford to really do anything to lift people up. We have to put all our resources into subsidizing the already most successful parts of the economy. So basically they're saying if you ain't on the shit by now, you ain't getting on the shit by now. That's what he's saying. But those parts of the economy are producing this huge group of people who are homeless, unemployed, have untreated mental health and substance abuse problems. And then we ask the police to put a lid on those problems, to manage them, so that they don't interfere with the order that we're supposedly all benefiting from. The order that police are supposed to create, right? The justice that we all are supposedly benefiting from. Sounds like double talk, right? Because it's saying one thing idealistically and the opposite is happening, actually happening. But if you're one of those poor people, one of those folks with a mental health problem, someone who's involved in black market activity to survive, then you experience this as constant criminalization, right? Political protest has always been a part of a dynamic right that we have, right? Policing has always been the primary tool for managing those threats to public order, right? He said that, you know, I think, well, he was mentioning, referring to this incident with Jacob Frey in Minneapolis. He has constantly tried to frame this problem as a few bad apples, right? In terms of police, you know, acting out, it's just a few bad apples, right? And says, why are you protesting? We fired them. They fired the bad apple. So, but this completely misunderstands the nature of the grievances. And instead of actually addressing those grievances, he's throwing police at the problem. So we fired them. You know, we complain about that. Like, okay, are police subject to the same law that we are? If they broke the law, fired is the first thing should have been done. Arrested is the second. Booked. Okay, so it said if we are to take serious steps toward moving in the direction of having police address fewer of our social problems and putting those problems in the hands of people who are actually more equipped to deal with them. That makes a lot of sense because a lot of these guys are the police officers. I'm not even sure if they even know of their job, tell you the truth. I don't even know. Then they say, we don't want police in our schools. We want the money spent in ways that help our children, not criminalize them. We don't want more money for overtime for narcotics officers. We want actual drug treatment programs, safe injection facilities that will help people. So that's what it looks like, he says. It's about rallying city council members and mayors around a new vision of creating healthier communities. Okay. Oh, I have a caller. 4749. Welcome to 4794. Welcome to Provocative Start.
How you doing?
How you doing?
Okay, I'm Lee.
one of the questions, or so say statements and questions, do they really know what the law that they took an oath for is all about? Because it's a serious violation from the civil matter as well as a personal matter that police invade or involve themselves in.
Right.
It's pretty bad.
Right.
So
right.
If they took an oath to uphold the law, what law are they referring to? Because they're not upholding most, 98% of any law. I've been a victim of many situations the past 30 years where it was all a game. So this is bigger than what we think it is.
Yeah, I think this author is trying to say that in terms of what's actually going, what's happening, because, you know, he's saying that government are causing these problems in our community. And I'm not taking this responsibility away from grassroots people or from the things that's going on, you know, all the homicides that's going on in the community and drug dealing and things like that. But I'm saying that it's not just that. That's the downhill side of what's happening in our society. So in terms of police, I wonder if they know their job, period. You know, some that I have come across, I wonder if they even know, you know, the job, or if they just act like they, you know, be just using their power to say, I can do what I want to do because I'm a police officer and nobody's going to believe you. You know what I'm saying? So maybe,
correct.
You know, and they can get away with it, you know.
Correct, no. And I agree. I had an encounter recently in the past few months where the cops said I was a criminal, said that I trespassed in my own conveyance and then my property or whatever, and dealing with a civil matter I'm referring to.
Right.
They're not supposed to deal in any civil matter.
Right.
So how all of a sudden now I'm a criminal? They got on paper that I'm a criminal. So what law are they trying to or claim to uphold, as well as, you know, false arrest, false imprisonment, and everything
right.
else that they're dealing with? You know, they're doing
right.
stuff, period.
Right.
With reparation.
Right. Mm-hmm. Where's the justice, right? Where's the maintaining of your rights as a citizen and a human being? None, right?
Correct.
That's what you're saying. That was absent, right? You're saying that was absent for those individual or police that you encountered on that particular day or days, right? These are, but some, they're taking advantage of being police officers and having that pistol
correct.
On the side of their hip.
Absolutely. More than 10 times.
Right.
I just had that in there.
Right.
But it's very interesting because if you ask, the quote-unquote police, what is their job, they couldn't tell you. Because I noticed that on the side of their vehicles or their cars, as you call it, it says something totally different. Because they're not upholding any law. There is no integrity at all.
Right.
So it's an us against them type of concept that they are coming out with, which is insanity. Like, it's like if somebody don't have driver's license. Now, I don't know if everybody know that it's not a requirement to have driver's license. You can have traveling ID. You don't need driver's license, but that's another story. But I'm just saying, for them not to know that and for them to infringe on your real correct rights, you know, that is a problem in itself.
Right. They don't know the law that they are said to protect, right? That's what you just said, right?
Absolutely.
Right. And that's a problem.
And they're using scare tactics to make people scared of them, like they're supposed to submit to them. That's crazy. Only a handful of people want to stand up to them. I'm one of them handful of people.
Right. You know, in your case, someone else was able to utilize the police to their advantage. Is that right?
Yes. in my case also, I have something called, I don't know if your audience know, a fee schedule. So, or diplomatic immunity where I'm not to be detained or my fee schedule comes out. That's another story. That's a bigger topic.
Right. That is quite another story. Because let me ask you this question.
Excuse me.
Even with that, with what happened to you with the police, right, with these particular officers, right, how do you think what would happen if we didn't have police at all?
Then I think that we don't need them, because if the fathers would step up to be fathers, we wouldn't have this much crime out here, because they would check their children, or mainly their male offspring. I think that would be like when we came up in the 60s and 70s and early 80s, it was a different ballgame, even though there was some things going on back then, but the fathers were putting those fires out. Now you don't have no fires out, and it's really insanity. Just anything goes now.
Funny you mentioned the 67, because I specifically remember police coming to intervene when gangs were gang war. When the police come, it's gang war over.
But it was different. That's what I'm saying. So the cops back then, it was a different protocol than it is now. Like I mentioned, what's on their cars now, it don't say what it said back then. Like you could actually be friends with cops. Like even my family and I, we were friends with police. They knew us by name, and they didn't have to walk around. You know, now it's a fear tactic where there is us against them. It wasn't like that totally back then, like that. Not like it is now.
Okay, so I'm gonna bring you to the homicide. We're over 300 homicides in Philadelphia right now. So where would we be without police today? To date,
I was saying, if unfortunately, if we don't have the fathers that steps up and raise the male children, I'm mainly speaking of them, on a different level, it would be totally different than it is with this homicidal thing and chaotic scenarios going on.
I agree with that. But so we don't have that. So what we do have is over 300 homicides, right? Well on our way to 500, right, or over, right? So where would we be that we have a rate of crime solved, right, homicide solved, about, I think it might be 40%. It might be less than maybe 50%, something like that. It's very low. You know what I'm saying?
Well, here's a dagger. If the police are doing their job, then why are there? I mean, homicides. Yeah, and here's the thing.
Oh, I can answer that.
Say again.
I can answer that question. Why the police cannot prevent a homicide?
Like I said, if the police wasn't your enemy, and it was like, you know, they were, you know, trying not to be different or, you know, antagonistic, because they are very that. I don't even have any respect for them, and I don't care if this is on a loudspeaker all over the nation. I have no respect for police at all, and I'm sure you know why. But I'm just saying.
I hear you, but I'm trying to see if you see anything that they do that's helpful, and that's why I mentioned the gang war, because they break the gang wars up. Anything. Not when a police officer says to take somebody gets shot, they throw them in the back seat, take them down to the hospital.
Well, that ain't nothing. I mean,
yeah, save the life. That's something. That is something. You can't say that.
Well, they gotta earn their dollars some kind of way. But where were they when I had situations happen? Where were they at? Catalytic converters are getting stolen around the city, and they got cameras up. They done stole five of my catalytic converters off of my conveyances. And where is the police at? Like, or going back to homicide, if they're doing their job, there wouldn't be as many homicides.
Well,
and
they
you got
can't
cameras,
do their job.
Like,
here's what they say. They can't solve crimes if nobody's talking.
Well, here's the thing. If the economical, and as you already know about economics, if it wasn't so crazy economically, and see, this covers a lot of different ground from the food and all the craziness and economic poor neighborhoods where they didn't set up things with the so-called folks down in City Hall that's supposed to be helping neighborhoods when they're stealing properties and all kinds of craziness there, making people homeless. So it's like a real crazy circus act going on to, you know, in all these communities where melanated folks live. It's real crazy now, and the skyrocket of prices and all that kind of stuff. All these things contribute to what's happening with homicides and stealing, and I'm sure you got a family, and you got laid off on a job, you're going to go out and make sure your family eat. You know, if you got to go big ball and steal. And that's terrible because that's the way it was set up. So the police, where are they doing any good? To me, I'm just saying, this is my factual stuff.
Right.
Where are they doing good? You know, they used to have the police athletic league. That used to help some youth. And they used to have music in the schools and all that. They took all these things out of the schools. They took a lot of things that children today would have been interested in, like even teaching them about economics or teaching them about how to do a trade, whether it's carpentry or auto body or whatever, mechanics.
Who did that? Who did that? Politicians, right?
Politicians, and they laid that, okay, you laying that on the police, but that's part of your whatever they're doing.
That becomes a police problem. You're saying the same thing as Arthur is saying. But what happens is the politicians do things, and police have to clean it up, have to keep the lid on it.
Right, and I hear you, but here's the problem with that. If the police don't know what their job is, because if the cop don't know that he shouldn't be doing this or X, Y, Z, or then you can go against the cop in court and beat him in court, what is their job really? What is the description of their job when you really think about it? Like, my encounters with police in the past 30, 35, 40 years, they try to act like they are tough guys for no cause. Everybody don't act like they tough. Everybody's not going to give you a hard time on the street. There's some knuckleheads, and I got that. But when people are peaceful and trying to converse with you on things and you trying to act, you know, tough, like get over there like you, their father, that don't fly. Like, and that's why, excuse the expression, I've seen sometimes get their ass whipped because of scenarios like that. Especially, and not to say a racial thing, but when I go out in those counties and I travel all over the place in different counties, those guys follow you. They want to know stuff about you. Like, was there a crime? Did I commit a crime? You know, and that's bad. That's the thing in itself. You go out in Montgomery and Delaware County or Limerick. I got railroaded in Limerick some years ago. Now I mean to hold up all your time. I know you got other people calling. But I have gone out in Limerick. Limerick messed me up so bad as far as paperwork. They said I had marijuana in my truck. I was working for Toll Brothers some years ago. I never smoked a cigarette, and I never smoked marijuana. I'm not knocking anybody does, but they messed me up so bad where I had to get another type of a driver's license, what they call a driver's license, at the time, before I know what I know now. But they messed me up for 25, almost 29 years where I couldn't get, you know, their corny driver's license.
Okay. So it sounds like police. Hear what you're saying. You're saying police have put a bad taste in your mouth due to their corruption, correct? They're acting outside of their authority.
Your kitchen, yeah.
And so right now, you have a veil over your eyes when it comes to police, and they can do nothing good. Even if they rush somebody to the hospital, just got shot, somebody having a baby, you know, help people out of a fire and stuff like that, save some lives.
Well, those are little things to me. I helped a cop one time on 52nd Street in West Philly.
Wait a minute. Saving a life is not a little thing. Let's agree on that. Saving a life is not a small thing.
Well, if that be the case, them saving a life.
Yeah.
Them providing transportation, okay. If that did it, I go along with what you're saying.
Okay.
Now, if they ministered some kind of medical stuff to a child or a woman being pregnant or whatever, then I would agree with, okay, they're actually saving a life.
Right.
Now, you know, it's a different thing. For me, I don't have any respect for them because I've been railroaded. We'd be on the phone till like next week, me telling you about what happened in my situation. But
right.
Yeah, I run into rude cops all the time. I don't even respect them. I have totally, it's like they're not even there to me.
I got you. And you have those, I mentioned those guys in the beginning that we do have some problems with police, individuals who are police. But there are some good things that police have done, right? The writer in this article is saying police are victims of the inequalities perpetuated in or through politics and economics. The politicians create or facilitate the chaotic conditions, and law enforcement has the duty to maintain order on the poor, lower, or grassroots level, right? And you kind of, that's kind of your scenario.
Correct. I'm sorry, I missed about 30 minutes of your, or maybe 40 minutes of
you. Okay, you missed the show. And, okay. Oh, and I'm so saying, in that respect, police are the tools of the powerful ones or masters who control economics and politics in America. The writer appears to suggest a need to reform the way politics and economics are conducted in the good old USA. Good luck with that. Because as I say, money talks and that other stuff takes a walk. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely. So, well, here's another thing. When police pull people over or whatever, and if you know anything about law, I'm saying if they pull somebody over that really knows law, they'll ask for the captain because the people pulling them over are just a regular cast, Joe Blows, who don't know nothing about law. When you start quoting law, then I'm saying, you know, I don't consent to your stuff or whatever you're saying. They look pretty dumb. And in one of the situations that I was in Ardmore recently, a few months back, they didn't have no jurisdiction over me. And we would have to do another hour for that conversation. But I'm just saying that those cops didn't know anything at all. And I held them there for like 45 minutes to an hour. And then the lie came in. But we'll talk about that another time. I'm sure you got to have a part two to this.
Still, sounds like you need your own show. So we need to talk, and maybe we can talk about your dilemma and present this on a show, give you an hour and a half. How about that?
Let's do it.
Okay. So I'm going to have to close the show in a few minutes, so I'm going to finish up here. Anybody else want to add to the show? Please call now because we only have about 6 minutes left. All right, bro. So I'm gonna call you and we're gonna have a we're gonna talk about this. All right.
Definitely.
All right. Thanks for calling in.
Sure enough.
So. It appears that police are required to multitask and adapt to various scenarios with a gun, handcuffs, slapstick, or that pipe thing that comes out, video cam, and a stun gun. Truth is, police are equipped and trained to confront violence. Maybe some have the social skills and nerve to navigate through their day-to-day experiences, right? I don't think it too much to ask police to respect people, their lives, and the law. Some police actually do that. There's some cats out there that do that. So the concept is not that deep or profound, he says. Police officers are willing to do what most people cannot or do not want to do on a day-to-day basis. So yes and no to that. Law enforcement has a duty to protect. That is different than a will to perform that duty. 19 school children died in the Robb Elementary School in Uvalde, right, Texas, because armed police with AR-15 rifles failed to use their power to stop or eradicate the threat. One police officer represented police being willing to put their life on the line and do what police on the scene were not willing to do. If you think law enforcement is just a job, think again. Not everyone is qualified to be a law enforcement officer and are willing to do what most people cannot or do not want to do on a day-to-day basis. They said 19 police officers were in a hallway while children were trapped in the classroom with a shooter crying for help, calling 911, right? Stating that some of the kids were dead, right? They said the police had entered the school just 2 minutes after the gunman. That is what happens when police are present and do nothing and make poor decisions. Imagine what would have happened if there were no police. A Border Patrol agent who was nearby when the shooting began rushed to the school without waiting for backup and shot and killed the gunman who was behind the barricade, Associated Press reported. The agent was wounded but able to walk out of the school. That is what happens when police do their job. The Border Patrol agent is a real hero. One policeman decided to do what at least 19 wouldn't or should have. And it's time to close the show. I'm going to thank everybody for listening in, calling in tonight, because as you heard, previous caller that had many poor experiences with police officers, and you know, just put a bitter taste in his mouth about police. But you know, and I'm saying, I'm quite aware that there are a lot of police who don't know their job, who abuse the authority, and who are just as bad as some of the people on the streets who are committing crimes. But I'm saying again, we need police officers. That's a good example right there. Law enforcement. Without that guy could have killed anybody in the school. So I want to thank We Talk Productions, Blog Talk Radio, Mr. Kenneth Jones, all my callers and listeners. And I want to say to everyone, you know, always look for the good in things. And if you can't find any good in it, get away from it, right? Eradicate it. Till next week, each one reach one, each one teach one. Do your own research. I can't stress that any more. Please do your own research. Peace out, y'all.
Not be able to stay home, brother. You will not be able to plug in, turn on, and cop out. You will not be able to lose yourself on Skag and skip out for beer during commercials because the revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by Xerox in four parts without commercial interruption. The revolution will not show you pictures of Nixon blowing a bugle and leading a charge by John Mitchell, General Abrams, and Spiro Agnew to eat hog maws confiscated from a Harlem sanctuary. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by the Schaefer Award Theater and will not star Natalie Woods and Steve McQueen or Bullwinkle and Julia. The revolution will not give your mouth sex appeal. The revolution will not get rid of the nub. The revolution will not make you look 5 pounds thinner because the revolution will not be televised, brother. There will be no pictures of you and Willie Mae pushing that shopping cart down the block on the dead run or trying to slide that color TV into a stolen ambulance. NBC will not be able to predict the winner at 8:32 on Deport from 29 District. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of Whitney Young being run out of Harlem on the rail with a brand new process. There will be no slow motion or still life of Roy Wilkins strolling through Watts in a red, black, and green liberation jumpsuit that he has been saving for just the proper occasion. Green Acres, Beverly Hillbillies, and Hooterville Junction will no longer be so damn relevant, and women will not care if Dick finally got down with Jane on Search for Tomorrow, because black people will be in the street looking for a brighter day. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no highlights on the 11 o'clock news and no pictures of Harry Arm, woman liberationist, and Jackie Onassis blowing her nose. The theme song will not be written by Jim Webb or Francis Scott Key, nor sung by Glenn Campbell, Tom Jones, Johnny Cash, Engelbert Humperdinck, or The Rare Earth. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be right back after a message about a white tornado, white lightning, or white people. You will not have to worry about a dove in your bedroom, the tiger in your tank, or the giant in your toilet bowl. The revolution will not go better with Coke. The revolution will not fight germs that may cause bad breath. The revolution will put you in the driver's seat. The revolution will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised. The revolution will be no rerun, brothers. The revolution will be live.